The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions is with me. David, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, listeners.
Great stuff. We've got a couple of questions to get into, so we'll jump into them. Any questions or queries, get them in for David now on any of our numbers. Question for the Heat Doctor. I have solar panels 12 years and they don't seem to be heating the water anymore. Do they have a lifespan and can they be replaced? I'd imagine they definitely can be replaced anyway, but what's the lifespan on them, David? I know technology has advanced a lot in the last decade.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose that's the thing, Jerry, is things have changed so much with technology and I suppose, you know, wear and tear and direct sunshine, and that's what they do. They take the sunlight or the just light only. And I suppose, look, the older panels, there was a little bit different about them versus the newer panels being more little bit more economical and things. So I suppose to answer that question directly, yes, as you said, they can be replaced. And look, if those homeowner didn't avail of the grants back then, there's grants available for it now. And as we've heard in the news yesterday and today, you know, the VAT reduction as well, but we'll get into that in a second. But I suppose, look, there's ways of making sure that you can get panels that will be more economical. The newer ones are better. So I suppose my direct suggestion to that homeowner is to possibly consider replacing them. And it might mean a complete replacement, maybe just the panels only. But look, only with seeing the what's on site there, that's the best way to determine what's the best outcome for them.
Yeah, the first thing to investigate is there a problem with the wiring or something aside from the panels that's not heating the water, and then go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose it's a qualified electrician technician that needs to look at this. There's voltage, there's a lot of safety issues here, as we always talk about. But look, I mean, a quick assessment will determine which is the best for value way to I suppose rectify the issue. If it's not heating the water, it could be an element in the heating system itself, nothing to do with the PV panels or the solar panel system. So look, get it assessed, but I suppose yes, directly it can be changed, it can be upgraded, and there's great opportunities to do that.
Okay, another caller gets in touch. A 42-year-old bungalow, black mould appearing over the window and on the ceiling whenever there's frost. What can she do?
Well, unfortunately at the moment, I suppose, Jerry, this is a common issue across the country, and indeed a lot of places where, I suppose, since last September we've dealt with above average rainfalls, above average moisture levels in the country. And I suppose, you know, homes that possibly didn't suffer from this issue before are now suffering from it. But look, typically where it meets the window, or sorry, where it meets the wall and the ceiling meet, as we've talked about, it's the cold part of the house. It's the dew point where, I suppose, heat and cold meet, and unfortunately the black mould can appear there. Now there's some fantastic, I suppose, remedies to that for just, I suppose, and that's something I say to people, is effectively eradicate the black mould as well as insulating or checking the insulation and making sure there's insulation there. But I suppose most commonly, Jerry, and we talk about it, you and I, is ventilation. Unfortunately, so many houses have been, I suppose, buttoned up and insulated and closed up, and not enough ventilation coming into the houses, and especially bedrooms. And I suppose with the moisture levels as high as they've been since last year, and record levels in March and things like that, then I suppose that's what we're fighting. We're fighting a situation where we need to ventilate our homes in order to eradicate the possibility of black mould. And it's quite a harmful situation. And I'm not trying to scare homeowners, I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but I suppose when you see it, act. It's something that's simply eradicated, but it's also something that you can deal with by opening a window 15 minutes a day. A lot of the newer windows have a lock open process where they can be locked open by maybe, you know, half an inch to an inch. And it means that there's some circulation of air in these rooms, which is key.
Yeah, that's the key thing. Definitely is. Okay, oil stove purchased in December. How often should it be serviced? Listener wants to know.
Well, as I suppose, as a rule of thumb, that, you know, the better serviced anything is, the better it's going to work. But I suppose, look, talking to your installer and talking to manufacturers, there will be criteria for specific stoves and specific oil burners, gas burners, any of them. But look, as a rule of thumb, I would suggest that at the end of a season, getting it serviced before the start of the next season, so it's not forgotten. So it's something that's ready to go when you get to the heat requirement this winter, and that you have something that's serviced and ready to go, but a minimum of once a year.
A minimum of once a year. Okay, that's the important thing when it comes to that. Another listener gets in touch here. Why is there a strong smell when my oil boiler comes on? Is it dangerous? My carbon monoxide alarm doesn't sound.
This, I suppose, is a common issue in certain boilers, and it goes to the previous question there, Jerry, and I suppose it's key, is service. and servicing of them, of oil boilers especially, and I don't know for that homeowner, is it in the house or outside the house or where they're getting the smell from, but I would imagine it's inside if they can smell it as clear as that. You know, servicing the boilers and making sure that they're done and by a registered technician that gives a printout afterwards, I suppose maintaining that the airflow in these oil boilers and the burning of kerosene is done correctly within the unit itself. But I suppose directly the biggest issue is possibly a service. It could be a situation of a lack of air circulation. I know the carbon monoxide alarm hasn't gone off, and again, I'm not trying to scare this homeowner, it seems to be a theme, but it's something to get checked immediately. You know, call a serviceman, get someone in there, get the boiler checked, make sure there's no issues with the boiler itself. Don't be depending on the carbon monoxide alarm to tell you that there's not an issue with the boiler.
Yeah, okay, all right. Smell is a good place to start to see if you can get something sorted in relation to it. We're going to talk more about things. We've more queries and questions to get to. We're going to talk about the VAT off solar panels as well and the implications for people considering it on that. We'll get to that and more with David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, we're talking with David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions about your questions and queries, any heat-related ones, insulation-related ones, other questions from, then do get in touch. Now, David, a big development in the last week has been the Cabinet approval and sign-off of a scrapping of the VAT for solar panels. What sort of a difference will this make for people? People who have been coming to you looking to upgrade their homes, change the heating systems and the likes?
Well, I suppose, look, absolutely, any costings for any of these energy measures is welcome, and welcome wholeheartedly, no matter what way it comes. I suppose a reduction in VAT directly to the homeowner is a great situation, because I suppose as contractors, when we produce an invoice, obviously we have to put VAT onto that invoice to charge it out for the materials that we bought in. You know, so that's a whole accountancy situation that we hired the right people to take care of for us. I suppose what I'm saying here is, if there's a direct reduction by not having to pay the VAT, then it's a saving for the homeowner. And overall, the injury, it's calculable. I mean, by the time you make this investment into PV panels, and I suppose we get so many different questions. I could go on for days about this, about so many different options and so many different, I suppose, examples of the best way to make this work for homeowners. But all I can say is, look, there's some great information on gov.ie, and that's a start point. Don't look at any of the rest of them. I'm going to say that out loud because I've been researching it wholeheartedly for the last couple of days, and I suppose the direct information is clean and clear that, I mean, on an average cost of €9,000 for any homeowner for PV install, it's now going to be an €8,000 cost. That reduces the payback time from 7 years to 6.2 years. These are all direct facts and figures, and they're fantastic, Jerry. But each house is individual, and I have to make that clear to homeowners that we're dealing with. You know, we have different homes requiring different amounts of PV panels. They don't need to spend €9,000. They can spend less than that. They can have an economical system for less cost than that. And I suppose that's direct, but again, they don't pay the VAT. So I suppose that's the best way I can word the savings, is 0% VAT equals a saving, but not a direct number. And I suppose that's the clarity we have to give to our clients and our homeowners. And unfortunately, I think personally, and this is again from our own personal point of view, the government has left us down a little bit here by giving some, I suppose, numbers that are not applicable to every house throughout the country. But I suppose when you directly look at that, homeowners are looking for €1,000 saving immediately from any install, and that's not possible. That's not the exact numbers. But again, I just want to be clear, Jerry, every saving and every I suppose deduction that can be given for any energy upgrade works to your house is brilliant. And on top of that, I suppose making their example 9,000 to 8,000, then there's €2,400 of a grant to come off of that again once you're over a 4 kilowatt system. So I suppose directly the homeowner is getting €3,400 of a reduction on that example. That's fantastic. That's the best we can ask for, I suppose, in the current climate. Of course, we'd want more. Of course, we'd want our homeowners to get more.
Yeah.
But I suppose anything in like this and a reduction like this is brilliant.
Yeah.
I suppose. Well, it does. But again, you know, and again, as I said, I could waffle on for hours and hours and hours about this. But again, like, have the house assessed. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Just because there's a reduction and just because there's a saving, don't jump on the bandwagon and do it.
Yeah.
We're shooting ourselves in the foot by saying that, but I mean that wholeheartedly, because what I'm saying is, if your house is suitable for PV panels because you have an oil boiler, gas boiler, back boiler, whatever heat source you have, it's not meaning you have to have a heat pump. The savings are specific. You can put a diverter in place that will give you hot water as any time it's collecting electricity and turn that into hot water, basically using the immersion in your tank. So I suppose that's a starting point for what the PV will do for you. And after that, it's exporting to the system, as we all know, where there's deductions from all, if not most, of the companies.
The micro-generation scheme. Okay, brilliant stuff. We have an energy thermodynamic solar energy domestic hot water system. If we install air to water, will the solar panels be of no use? A listener wants to know.
Again, the most common answer to this is yes, they will not be, and I suppose it goes back to what we're talking about PV. They can be used, but again, they're not the most efficient way of, if you've gone to the expense or committing to the expense of installing a heat pump. Unfortunately, thermodynamic and heat pumps, they will work together, but they don't work together to give you the most economical output. And I suppose that's where it goes to PV panels. PV panels will contribute electricity to the house, which is distributed, you know, to the most used source. And I suppose there's different ways of controlling that, but not to delve too deep into it, I think, unfortunately for that homeowner, they may have to sacrifice the thermodynamic for the installation of the heat pump.
Yeah, okay, that's an interesting one. A question for the heat doctor. A small house with an EBER rating, would this be expensive to heat? Solid fuel stove in there at the moment, also oil.
Well, at least with the combination of heat source, I suppose there's a way of calculating. Unfortunately, with solid fuel, it's hard to calculate how much any home costs to heat sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it can vary throughout the temperature differences in the year. But I suppose an E rating, you know what I'm going to say here, Jerry, unfortunately, we're going to have to assess that house and everything that's
available. You want to get it higher than that, really, I suppose.
I mean, we need to move that up. We need to move that up. And I suppose the way to move that up is to determine the budget and to determine the most efficient way to do it, and also to give, I suppose, to provide access to the best grants we can provide for that owner. And again, you know, from the one-stop shops of up to €35,000, I suppose, to make an example of that, in a three-bedroom bungalow, homeowners are spending between €55,000 and €70,000 to get €35,000 back. You know, that's one example for that homeowner, pumping the walls, insulating the attic, and possibly or hopefully eradicating the solid fuel heat source and having a more economical heat source. If it is oil or gas, at least it's going to work economically.
Yeah.
And I suppose the last thing then is controlling the temperatures and controlling the zones within the house, so zone separation. And all of those elements are grant-funded, and they are available to that homeowner. But I suppose starting with a budget, starting with an assessment of the house, knowing it's an E, we can definitely go from there.
Yeah. Would a dehumidifier eradicate mould from a room permanently, asked an North Kerry listener?
I'm going to give that a direct no. Unfortunately not. Yes, dehumidifiers remove moisture and are very good at what they're doing, but again, ventilation is key.
Unless you tackle the source of the creation of the mould, you're fighting a losing battle, I suppose, long term.
You're covering it up. You're covering it up. So I suppose, look, they are brilliant in their own right. I suppose where we come across them most commonly is in holiday homes, where homes are left. And I suppose only used for summertime use. Dehumidifiers are quite common in those houses. But I suppose, look, again, ventilation and making sure rooms are vented right, that's key.
Yeah. Okay. Listener says, does spray-on foam for roof space cause condensation? This is a spray-on, I'd imagine, insulation.
Yeah, so spray foam insulation is a solution, and it's on the market for a while now. There's different types, and their application is specific to what they're being applied to within the roof spaces. There's closed cell, there's open cell, there's different thicknesses, there's card form where there's a ventilation gap left behind the foam to the felt. There's types which are directly applicable to the felt. Talking to the supplier on this one and getting it, making sure that what space you want spray foamed is, I suppose, applicable for this, that's key. But they can be used, and they can be used in different ways.
Okay, a final question for you. I have a Climber 500 to heat water. Can I get solar panels just for electricity?
So if it's solar PV, then yes. And I suppose what we can say there is that the solar PV panels will work in uniform with any system you have in place. And I know there's there. But I suppose, again, yes, you can do that, and they will work in harmony with each other.
Okay, brilliant. David, listen, we're out of time. My thanks to you. Thanks for another great show.